570 Radio in Fort Worth, WBAP.
Here is Morning Edition, complete news and weather coverage combining authoritative sources of WBAP and ABC. Brought to you by your 30 conveniently located Buddy's Supermarkets, where your dollar buys more. And with every purchase, you get valuable Scotty Savings stamps. Now, Morning Edition, Section 1.
Good morning, everyone. This is Norwood McClendon reporting. Fort Worth temperature 56 degrees, Dallas 55. Skies are cloudy, and very light rain is reported at both cities. President and Mrs. Kennedy arrived in Fort Worth from Houston late last night to an enthusiastic reception from huge crowds and spent the night in Suite 850 at Hotel Texas downtown. The president scheduled two speeches in Fort Worth this morning, the first to the general public, the other at a Chamber of Commerce breakfast. For WBAP News, here is Jack Brown reporting from Hotel Texas.
There's a light rain falling in downtown Fort Worth, and that may cut down on the size of the turnout for President Kennedy's parking lot speech. Mr. Kennedy is scheduled to make a short public talk, maybe 10 minutes, at 8:50 this morning. Indications are he will make the speech, even if it's raining. It's still not known whether or not the First Lady will accompany the President to the parking lot, which is just south of the hotel. Mr. Kennedy will speak from a platform mounted on a truck. The hotel's marquee says, "Welcome, Mr. President," and under it stand six young co-eds from Carter Riverside High School. The girls got up at 3:30 this morning and arrived at the hotel at 5. They've been standing there ever since. A crowd already is gathered outside the hotel's grand ballroom, maybe 200 persons, and they seem to be concerned about finding seats, or at least finding some good ones. The president's ballroom speech, which was an early sellout, will begin shortly after 9. We don't know what he'll talk about. From here, Mr. Kennedy will motorcade to Carswell Air Force Base, where Air Force One will be waiting to fly him to Dallas Love Field. 6,000 persons greeted Mr. Kennedy when he arrived at Carswell last night. Hundreds more lined the route to the Texas Hotel, and about 4,000 persons were waiting for him at the hotel. All were cheering. The president said his reception was wonderful. This is Jack Brown reporting from the Grand Ballroom at the Texas Hotel.
In San Antonio, Mr. Kennedy made a strong plea for an undiluted space program as he dedicated facilities at the School of Aerospace Medicine at Brooks Air Force Base. Later, he told an audience at a Houston appreciation dinner for Congressman Albert Thomas that Thomas, seeking re-election to a 15th term despite spinal cancer, is one of the nation's most remarkable congressmen. Mrs. Kennedy is proving an able campaigner as she charms the crowds with her smile, handshakes, and pleasantries. Last night, the First Lady addressed a Houston group of Latin American citizens in Spanish, telling them, "I'm very happy to be in the great state of Texas. I'm especially happy to be with you, who are part of the great Spanish tradition, which has contributed so much to Texas." Mrs. Kennedy is visiting the state for the first time. I'll be back in 60 seconds after this word from Buddy's.
Back to the news.
For President Kennedy's public speech this morning, the public is asked to enter the parking lot from 9th Street. No cars will be permitted on the lot itself. Police Chief Hightower says that 8th Street will be blocked off between Main and Commerce, and that those streets plus 9th will be stopped to traffic if the crowd overflows into them. The president is expected to speak for about 10 minutes at the outside gathering and about twice as long at the breakfast. State Democratic leaders say they hope to announce a sellout crowd for a $100-a-plate dinner honoring Mr. Kennedy in Austin tonight. This is the only announced political function of the president's Texas tour. Governor Conley said yesterday ticket sales have far exceeded his earlier prediction of 2,500, and officials at Municipal Auditorium at Austin say 4,000 is about the maximum capacity for a sit-down dinner. Speaking there will be the president, Vice President Johnson, and Governor Conley. Turning now to other news, arguments are scheduled to be heard this morning in the Gatesville rape trial of Virgil Nelson Holford, accused attacker of a 9-year-old Mineral Wells girl. Both state and defense have rested their cases, with defense witnesses testifying Holford is insane and should be declared innocent, and state's witnesses contending the defendant only feigns insanity. In neighboring Arkansas, a farmer at Truman, in the Cotton Belt, apparently crazed over family troubles, shot 4 persons to death late last night and then killed himself. The sheriff at Truman says 34-year-old Sammy Penter killed his wife, stepdaughter, mother-in-law, and sister-in-law. A Texas man was shot to death last night in an Oklahoma tavern just across the Texas line. Dead is 29-year-old William Rye Bierce, who listed a Dallas address. He was shot in the chest after he reportedly threatened to hold up the tavern. A 17-month-old Brownwood boy, Tommy Cunningham, was fatally injured last night when struck by a car on Farm Road 1849 near Brownwood. He was the son of Mr. and Mrs. Wilbur Cunningham. A Belton woman died and three persons were injured Thursday afternoon in a one-car accident in Dallas Oak Cliff section. The victim was 45-year-old Mrs. Susan Hoffman. Injured were her 71-year-old husband Carl Hoffman, along with the couple's 19-year-old stepdaughter and granddaughter. The officer said the car apparently failed to negotiate a curve. More news after this announcement from Buddy's.
Here's more news.
Former Vice President John Nance Garner may get a phone call from President Kennedy today, Garner's 95th birthday. Austin attorney Ed Clark says there's a possibility Mr. Kennedy will call Garner to wish him luck. Clark will travel to Garner's Uvalde home to help celebrate the former Vice President's birthday and present him with a hat from Vice President Johnson. Garner, who kept a vow made 23 years ago never again to cross the Potomac to Washington, reluctantly agreed to take part in a 10-minute ceremony today at the Garner Museum in Uvalde. He quit politics in 1940 following a reported disagreement with President Roosevelt. Finally, in high school football last night, Fort Worth Pasco defeated Northside 28-0. This is Norwood McClendon reporting, Morning Edition, Section 1.
See Buddy's cartoon show on WBAP-TV Saturdays at 1 p.m., live and in color, featuring speed cartoonist Big Jim Hester and his sidekick cousin Grady Hobb. Shop Buddy's today.
Best supermarket in town.
Say, don't forget
Southwest weather in Section 2.
Don't forget to buy that antifreeze at all Buddy's hardware centers. Ten minutes past 7 o'clock and 570 presents Southwest weather with WBAP meteorologist Frank McHenry. Good morning, Mac.
Good morning, everyone. In the weather news this morning, we have a low-pressure area extending from the west side of the Great Lakes down through Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas into Old Mexico. Associated with this low-pressure area, a cold front running from west of Duluth, down through the vicinity of Omaha, Nebraska, southwestward across Kansas, clear down into the Panhandle just south of Dalhart, and curves back to the northwest along the Rockies in Colorado. Preceding that cold front moving in from the north is a cold-type occlusion moving through East Texas at the present time. This front is past Dallas, east of Fort Worth, extends on down to near San Antonio, swings southwestward into a low-pressure center in Old Mexico. As the front continues moving eastward today, the present shower activity will dissipate and the clearing trend will set in with the winds coming from the west and later from the northwest. Farther to the west, we have a high-pressure area building in over Nevada, and as that high builds and the low-pressure area moves out, we will have improving conditions tomorrow. Let's pause now to hear this message. It's snowing in Kansas in the northwest corner of the state, also in Nebraska and parts of Colorado. The cold air moving southward will affect us in about 20 to 24 hours. Let's check now some of the temperatures and weather across the state. El Paso clear and 42, Wink clear 46, Lubbock high scattered and 43, Mineral Wells, broken clouds at 2,000 feet, rain shower activity, temperature 53. Greater Southwest has broken clouds with very light rain, temperature 56. Dallas has overcast, very light rain, temperature 55. San Antonio overcast, temperature 59. Austin has a rain shower, temperature 58. College Station is overcast with 1.5 miles visibility with a heavy rain shower, temperature 52. Corpus Christi, high broken clouds, temperature 76. Brownsville, high scattered clouds, temperature 75 degrees. Now for the forecast. Mostly cloudy and cooler today and tonight. Partly cloudy and mild Saturday. Scattered showers today and early tonight. High both days in the upper 60s, the low tonight in the mid-40s. The wind northwesterly 10 to 20 miles per hour, diminishing tonight, light and variable on Saturday. This is Frank McHenry saying have a nice day.
Thank you, Mac. Each morning, Monday through Saturday, here's Southwest weather. And now stay tuned for Don Gardner. At 7:15 at the tone, here's Morning Edition, Section 3.
News around the world with Don Gardner, brought to you by Winston Cigarettes. Changing to a filter cigarette, change to Winston. Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should. Now here is Don Gardner.
Good morning from ABC News, New York. The Russians have finally answered a U.S. protest note of more than 2 weeks ago concerning blockades on the Berlin Autobahn. As expected, the Soviets turned down the protest, said they'll continue to make the rules on the Autobahn, and the Russians accused the U.S. of artificially provoking the Autobahn incidents. President Kennedy's job in Texas to patch up the Democratic Party. The job in its second day, three more speeches on tap, Fort Worth, Dallas, Austin. ABC microphones are with the president and on hand last evening in San Antonio when President Kennedy spoke of success in our space program.
Whatever the difficulties, they will be overcome. Whatever the hazards, they must be guarded against. I think the United States should be a leader. A country as rich and powerful as this, which bears so many burdens and responsibilities, which has so many opportunities, should be second to none.
The First Lady is also along on this Texas trip, and from all reports, she's making quite a hit with the Texans. More news in just a moment. The Russian diplomatic exodus from the Congo is underway. One Russian diplomat arrived in Brussels this morning. Reportedly, he was barefoot. The Congolese hustled the Russian out of the country so fast, he didn't have time to get all his clothing. The Congo is expelling the entire Russian mission. The CIA will be downgraded in the fight against communists in South Vietnam. This exclusive report from ABC's John Scali after the Vietnam strategy meetings in Honolulu. Scali says the step is being taken because the Central Intelligence Agency worked perhaps too closely with the deposed ZM regime. Important elections in Japan, but no surprises. The report from Ray Falk, ABC Tokyo.
Japan's conservative liberal Democrats have won a clear majority in the National Diet elections and thus remain in charge of the government for the next 4 years. The conservatives did a little worse than predicted, left a little better than expected. The election was the dullest in Japan's recent history, with a record low of only 60% voting in Tokyo. There will be no changes in the government's pro-Western and cautious China policy. But Prime Minister Ikeda will have a tougher time within his own party. Ray Falk, ABC, Tokyo.
With just a few scattered no votes, the Ecumenical Council today approved its first completed schema, voting overwhelming endorsement for the replacement of Latin by modern languages in much of Roman Catholic worship. ABC on hand at Columbia University last night in New York, as former President Eisenhower spoke of the necessity for spiritual strength if a nation is to be great. And then Mr. Eisenhower talked about the place of religion or prayer in schools.
We have a Supreme Court decision that in our great public system, we can make no mention of religion, or at least we cannot utter certain prayers. If for no other reason, the privately endowed and supported institution of education deserves our support, it would be because you are not so hampered and restricted.
And former President Eisenhower was awarded the Alexander Hamilton Medal at Columbia. At Uvalde, Texas, birthday number 95 for John Nance Garner, a vice president under FDR. Now, a message from our sponsor.
At 25 minutes past 7, back to news around the world.
Now, President Kennedy's predecessor, Dwight D. Eisenhower, at Columbia University last night, spoke of American leadership.
Our nation, to be the leader, but it must be spiritually strong, or it will never have, in the long run, a great and expanding economy and the necessary military strength until the world has been led into paths of peace.
And in Washington, General Eisenhower's Republican colleague, Indiana Congressman Charles Halleck, also had some comment on American leadership.
During the 1960 presidential campaign, Mr. Kennedy filled the airwaves with what he called, quote, the need for strong leadership, the need to go forward with vigor. If we examine President Kennedy's handling of his legislative programs for his first 3 years, his 1960 campaign cries are more applicable today than 3 years ago.
And speaking with Congressman Halleck, Illinois Senator Everett Dirksen.
In the final analysis, it is President Kennedy's own mismanagement of his legislative program that has kept Congress in session since last January, and everybody in Washington knows it.
The Republican Senator from Illinois, Everett Dirksen. A plan to enter Wisconsin Republican Congressman John Burns as a favorite son candidate apparently is gone by the boards despite Burns' impassioned defense yesterday of his stock holdings in a Wisconsin mortgage company. Congressman Burns obtained favorable tax treatment for the company. The probable Republican candidate for Wisconsin governor and a Wisconsin Republican national committeeman both say Burns is now likely to forego the favorite son role at next year's presidential convention. An accident on an American firing range in South Korea has claimed the lives of 9 Koreans, injured 9 others. A U.S. artillery unit fired an Honest John missile onto the range. Despite warnings, the Koreans ran out to collect scrap from the first warhead, and when a second Honest John burst among them, that's when the casualties happened. An historic communications link with Japan. That story now from Al Mann, ABC, in the Mojave Desert in California.
Today, a new era of communications opens between North America and Asia with the transmission of the first direct television pictures from the United States to Japan by way of the relay satellite. Today's transmission will be one way only, from the United States. A special message from President Kennedy to the Japanese people will be the feature part of the program. Not only will the picture span the Pacific, but it'll span time as well, crossing the international dateline to be seen live in Japan on Saturday morning, live in the United States on Friday afternoon. Al Mann, ABC, the Mojave Desert, California.
A series of rifle shots brought death to 5 members of one family early this morning in Truman, Arkansas. Police report that farmer Sammy Penter, apparently despondent, turned his gun on 4 members of his family, then killed himself. The shooting at Truman, Arkansas, took place at a birthday celebration for Penter's 6-year-old stepdaughter. She was one of the victims. A lawyer for Teamster President Jimmy Hoffa says Hoffa had no knowledge of an attempt to bribe a prospective juror for Hoffa's trial. The disclaimer from Nashville attorney Z.T. Osborne, who was disbarred by a Nashville federal court for his alleged part in a jury fix attempt. The nation's weather, a study in contrast this morning. The north central states shivering under near zero temperatures. Snow has fallen in the belt from Montana to Nebraska. Meanwhile, the rest of the nation fairly basks in unseasonably warm temperatures. Early morning readings already in the 60s from the southwest as far north as Chicago. That's the latest on the weather on News Around the World. The wheat deal with the Soviets coming in for more criticism. This from Texas Republican Senator John Tower. He's against the deal, thinks the administration is keeping the truth about the deal from the American people. Says Senator Tower,
it might be too hard to accuse this administration of deliberately attempting to hoodwink the American people. But there can be no doubt that they have adopted an attitude of what they don't know won't hurt them. And the longer the people stay in the dark about what's going on in Washington, the longer they, the administration that is, can stay in power.
Disagreeing with Senator Tower, the Democratic senator from Arkansas, William Fulbright.
It is clear that our virtual embargo on non-strategic trade with communist countries has become self-defeating. It does not deny the communist countries the goods which they wish to buy, but only assures that they will buy them from sources other than the United States.
Senator William Fulbright, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on the wheat deal. That's the morning wrap-up on News Around the World. This is Don Gardner, ABC News, New York. Goodbye, and I hope you have a good day.
Still in Dallas, Richard Nixon. GOP chairman says no draft in 64. 5 fatally shot in Arkansas. And Congolese expel Russian bigwig and keep his shoes. Details in a moment. First, this message.
Back to the news.
President Kennedy has scheduled 3 major speeches in Texas today at Fort Worth, Dallas, and Austin. The president and his wife spent the night at Hotel Texas after getting a warm welcome from crowds in 3 cities yesterday. They were cheered by thousands in Fort Worth last night when they arrived from Houston and San Antonio. In addition to an address at a Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce breakfast this morning, the president has scheduled a public appearance downtown shortly before 9 a.m. Jack Brown reports.
President Kennedy's parking lot speech is still 50 minutes away, but several hundred persons have already gathered to hear him. They're wearing raincoats and holding umbrellas, but the rain has stopped. Inside, in the grand ballroom, some 2,000 persons are in their seats for Mr. Kennedy's second speech. That will begin around 9:10. The breakfast menu calls for eggs, 4,200 of them, Virginia ham, 65 big ones, 700 pounds of potatoes, 80 pounds of coffee, 72 gallons of orange juice, and an undetermined number of Parker House rolls. There's still no word on the subject of President Kennedy's breakfast speech. At the present time, Jimmy Rovito's combo is providing background music. The crowd is still coming in. People are being seated by the ushers, which includes TCU football coach Abe Martin. The head table is decked out with sprays of flowers, gladiolas, carnations, and something I can't recognize from here. Mr. and Mrs. Kennedy spent the night in Suite 850, a suite that has been outfitted with artwork from the French school, which Mrs. Kennedy prefers. The suite's gold carpet has been cleaned half a dozen times in the last few days. Every time they get it clean, cameramen plead for a few more pictures, and in getting them, they track dirt and mud on the carpet. Six young co-eds from Carter Riverside High School apparently were among the first to show up this morning. They stationed themselves outside the hotel at 5 o'clock. After Mr. Kennedy's breakfast speech, he will motorcade to Carswell Air Force Base, where Air Force One will fly him over to Love Field in Dallas. This is Jack Brown reporting from the Grand Ballroom of the Hotel Texas.
The motorcade returning the presidential party to Carswell Air Force Base is scheduled to leave downtown Fort Worth at 10:30, with departure for Dallas at 11:15 a.m. The president will address a luncheon in Dallas, then go to Austin for a major speech tonight at a party fundraising dinner. Another Dallas visitor is former Vice President Nixon, who's on a business trip for his New York law firm. He's made plans to leave Dallas this morning prior to President Kennedy's arrival. Nixon predicted Thursday that President Kennedy will discard Vice President Johnson as a running mate next year if the race looks close. In St. Louis, Republican National Chairman William Miller predicts there'll be no draft candidate at next summer's GOP convention. He says that party presidential hopefuls will have to work for the nomination. He says anyone who just sits by expecting to be drafted is in for a disappointment. A birthday party for a six-year-old girl ended in horror last night in a modest frame home near Truman, Arkansas. Authorities say that a 34-year-old drink-crazed farmer, apparently beset with family troubles, shot four persons to death and then took his own life. Police say Sammy Penter killed his wife, his mother-in-law, his sister-in-law, and his six-year-old stepdaughter before shooting himself. A bedraggled Russian diplomat, not even wearing shoes, arrived in Brussels this morning after being expelled from the Congo. Several hours later, the Russian Boris Voronin was hustled aboard a Soviet plane bound for Moscow. The fate of the other Soviet diplomat picked up on subversion charges in the Congo is not known. The Congolese premier has ordered the entire Soviet diplomatic mission expelled from Leopoldville. Here's the weather outlook for Fort Worth and Dallas. Mostly cloudy and cooler today and tonight. Partly cloudy and mild Saturday. Scattered showers today and early tonight. Highest daytime temperatures should be in the upper 60s, lowest tonight the mid-40s. Wind northwesterly, 10 to 20 miles per hour, diminishing tonight, becoming light variable tomorrow. And at Southwest International Airport, the temperature is 56 degrees and the relative humidity 86%.
It's 8:19 from Hotel Texas. Here is Frank Mills with a 570 Mike Side Report.
Well, good morning again, everyone, from the Grand Ballroom in Texas Hotel, downtown Fort Worth, awaiting the arrival of the president. It's not anticipated for another, 50 minutes, perhaps. There's a great deal of expectancy here in the ballroom when you can feel time ticking toward a climax when the president and his party make their entrances, as we said earlier this morning, through the kitchen for security reasons and because it is the most direct route, of course, through the ballroom to the speaker's platform. The people have been coming and going long since the 2,000 diners have been served and have eaten, and they are patiently awaiting then the president's appearance. Talked to another gentleman this morning. As a matter of fact, you don't find any difficulty getting anyone to talk to you. I asked him, he'd been here quite early, and I asked him if he were a supporter of the president, if he were going to vote for him next year. He said, young man, I didn't come here to vote. I came here to see the President of the United States. So have some several thousand other people. The crowd continues to gather outside, and we hope the showers will cease, at least through the President's appearance there. Earlier this morning, Nick Ramsey, who was here with us at our WBAP microphone, circulated through the crowd, talking with different people and recording some very interesting interviews. We have one for you now, and here is Nick Ramsey.
11, countdown from 15.
The conversation you're hearing is occurring between Mrs. Henry Steben and a number of ladies who have come to the presidential breakfast. Mrs. Stevens, I wonder if I may take a few moments of your time. Now, you're giving some table numbers to these ladies. Tell me, who are they, and what are they doing here at the presidential breakfast?
Oh, they are the extra help for the Hotel Texas.
I see.
We have been privileged to work the presidential breakfast simply because we have worked with the hotel now for the last 11 years
when
they have banquets of such size that their regular help cannot take care of them. We too do that.
Well, now, to what purpose do these ladies work? Now, you say you've been associated with the Hotel Texas for 11 years. Now, on what basis is this work done?
We donate our salary and our time, and the hotel gives the money directly to the church.
I see.
And all of our earnings then go towards special projects of our home congregation.
I see.
And over the years, we have been able to do any number of things maybe we would not have been able to do otherwise.
Yes.
We enjoy it, too. It's like a luncheon club. We get together and have lunch together whenever we are through here.
Yes.
The hotel has been marvelous with us, if I might touch.
Yes,
these
we have some more ladies here.
You are from
Stephenville.
Table number one.
That's Mrs. Steben again giving table assignments to the ladies from the Lutheran churches in the area who have come, as she has mentioned, for the 11th straight year to work as extra help for the Hotel Texas. And these ladies again here at the presidential breakfast are receiving their assignments. Mrs. Steben, thank you very much for talking with us. And I know you've been looking forward to the presidential breakfast, haven't you?
I certainly have, and I have known that we were among the privileged to be here to see him in person.
Splendid. And
not very often in the years you get to see a president.
Yes, that's quite true.
Although, personally, I have seen him. I've met him before.
Yes. Thank you very much for talking with us. This is Nick Ramsey at the presidential breakfast at Hotel Texas, returning you to the studio.
It's 21 minutes before 9, and from Hotel Texas, here is Frank Mills with an 820 Mikeside report.
And we, with some 2,000 or more other people, are still awaiting the arrival of the president, who in approximately 6 minutes, if plans hold up, will be speaking to the crowd outside, rain or no rain, in the parking lot directly across the street from the south entrance to the Texas Hotel. He'll be speaking from a specially erected platform there. Political observers, you know, are saying that the president's appearance in Texas this time will be observed as a weather vane for the 1964 campaign. If that is so, the president can point to his abilities as a rainmaker, and if he can sell that idea, he ought to gain a lot of support, because if there's one thing that all of Texas has agreed upon, it is that we do need rain. We've had it a couple of days ago, we have it today, and there is an outside chance, at least, that they might break up long enough for him to make a dry appearance out there in the parking lot. But if it doesn't, then it would be a wet one, according to plans. Things should clear pretty well by the time of his arrival in Dallas this afternoon, and better than a 50-50 chance that festivities, the parade, etc., there will be conducted without showers. But the showers will begin to form again. The instability will still be with us, and probably the rain will follow the president on down to Austin. Well, as I mentioned earlier this morning, the Nick Ramsey, who was with us here at our WBAP microphones today, has been circulating through the crowd with the wire tape recorder. That shows you how long I've been doing this. The tape recorder, getting interviews with people. And here are some interesting comments that he recorded about an hour or two ago.
Let's talk to a lady here at the Presidential Breakfast in Hotel Texas. Your name, please?
Mrs. Edward Moore.
Where are you from, Ms. Moore?
I'm from Fort Worth.
You're from Fort Worth. Did you get up early this morning, earlier than usual?
I got up at 5 o'clock, first time I set the alarm in years.
I see. What brings you to the breakfast primarily? Is it to see the president, or is it the charm of the first lady? Attractive element of the presidential breakfast?
The most important thing is to see the president, then to see Mrs. Kennedy. I think she's lovely, but I think our president does come first.
I see.
She's a lovely person.
Well, you look like you're happy to be here.
Very happy.
That's good. Let's talk to another lady here. What is your name, please?
Mrs. Bob Cartwright.
And where are you from, Ms. Cartwright?
Fort Worth.
Well, we're well represented this morning.
Yes.
What is the particular attraction here for you?
Well, I agree with the first lady there that our president is most important.
And I'm sure you're looking forward to a good breakfast.
Oh, yes, after standing here this long.
How long have you been here this morning?
Since 6:15.
You've been here in the hotel?
Yes.
Well, it looks like everyone got up early. I remember when I came in at 6 o'clock, there were a group of youngsters who had been standing at the front of the hotel since about 3 o'clock.
Oh, great.
And so it seems that the president and the first lady and their being in Fort Worth and in Dallas appeals to a lot of people.
Yes, I'm sure.
Let's talk to this gentleman here. Is this Mr. Cartwright?
Yes.
All right, sir.
Bob Cartwright.
Yes, sir. And I know you look like you've been looking forward to the breakfast.
Well,
you're one of the fortunate 2,000, I believe.
Yes, but I waked up at 2:30 and couldn't go back to sleep, so this is a rough day.
I see. Is it? Do you like the idea that the president is visiting our town?
Oh, yes, I do. I think it's...
How do you feel that Fort Worth, he will be impressed by Fort Worth as a city?
Well, I think Fort Worth has really turned out for him. I think the business houses turning on the lights last night, the work that the Chamber of Commerce has done is going to make a very lasting impression, I hope, on the president and also the vice president.
Well, that's Mr. Cartwright.
Yes.
And his idea is concerning how Fort Worth has turned out to welcome the president. And I know that you're glad to be at the breakfast. Thank you so much, both you and Mrs. Cartwright, for talking with us.
Thank you.
Let's talk to this gentleman here. Your name, sir?
John Herrick.
Mr. Herrick, you're up bright and early this morning. Is it your usual procedure to get up early in the morning?
Not quite this early, but I really feel that history will recognize this man as being one of the greatest presidents we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do not want to lose the opportunity just because of a few hours sleep to see him.
I see. I've heard some talk that this is a non-political trip. Do you believe that evaluation holds as of this moment?
Well, I think so, because I think regardless of party, a sense of excitement has been going through Fort Worth for the last 4 or 5 days. And the fact that our president is here is, I think, enough to say that it is a non-political trip.
All right, so thank you very much for talking with us. And we'll be talking with some other people here at the Hotel Texas Presidential Breakfast throughout the morning. Some of the 2,000 who will be at the breakfast itself. This is Nick Ramsey, returning you to the studio. WBAP 820 in Fort Worth, Dallas. It's 15 minutes to 9, and from Hotel Texas, here again, Frank Mills with another 820 Mike Side Report.
Mrs. Johnson, along with other members of the official party, have already made the entrance into the ballroom and are standing at the speaker's table. They are now being seated, so I presume that the president and perhaps the vice president are appearing across the street, and it is hoped that Mrs. Kennedy will accompany the vice president there, too. The Texas Boys Choir are here. They have been entertaining the assembled guests. We are, as I say, waiting now with an air of expectancy. There is really electricity in the air at this particular moment. Let us go back to one of the interviews that Nick Ramsey had this morning. We might interrupt this in the proceedings here to bring you in its entirety the program as the president makes his entry. Here is Nick Ramsey again with one of his recorded reports.
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Carney, do you usually get up this early of a morning to have your breakfast?
Well, I work at General Dynamics, and I have to arise pretty early, so it wasn't too difficult for me this morning. No,
I see. Of course, it's going to be just a little bit. It's going to be just a little bit different this morning. No, you're going to have breakfast with about 2,000 other people.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
I'm sure you are.
No.
And this is...
Mrs. Florence Sherman.
Yes, ma'am.
And this is the thrill of my life, especially last night when I shook hands with our wonderful president and his gorgeous wife. I never will forget it.
You must have been in Carsville last night.
No, I was out here. I stayed all night at the Hotel Texas because I didn't want to fight the traffic.
That's one way to beat the traffic.
It's been wonderful, every minute of it.
What is the main attraction for you, Miss Sherman?
The main attraction is the president and his wife.
Well,
that is the attraction.
I see. I just wondered if you wanted to distinguish between one and the other, the first lady.
Oh, no, I love them both. I love them both.
All right. Thank you very much for talking with us, Miss Sherman. And your name,
please? Good morning. Me, Joe Brown from Arlington.
From Arlington.
Yes, it was raining when we left, too.
That's right. But it didn't stop you, did it?
No, no. I would have liked to have just come over and spent the night like the other ladies.
Do you have any, do you at this time, which is before the breakfast, have any idea what the president will talk about this morning?
No, but I wished he could talk about the Trinity River.
I see. I think he plans to talk about that in Dallas.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of. But that'll be all right, just so he discusses it,
right,
you know.
All right. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
And this lady, your name, please?
Mrs. Walter Huzzervich.
Yes, ma'am. Where are you from?
Fort Worth.
Fort Worth. Well, I'll tell you, we have a lot of Fort Worth people here this morning. This lady I just talked to from Arlington is the only out-of-towner. And is this something out of the ordinary for you? I mean, not attending a presidential breakfast, but getting up this early to eat breakfast.
No, it is not. I get up at 5 every morning.
Mm-hmm. What will be the most thrilling or entertaining or most interesting aspect of the breakfast to you?
Well, just seeing the president, of course.
Just seeing the president?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea about what you'd like for him to say or possibly what you expect the first lady to wear for breakfast, other than a rain jacket, that is?
I have no idea. Anything he says, I'm sure, will be very interesting to all of us.
I see. Thank you very much for talking with us. Matt, I talked to this...
When is this going
to
be aired? When is this going to be on air?
I'll tell you about that in just a moment. Yes. Let me talk to this gentleman here. You look like a gentleman who would have some very definite ideas. Your name, sir?
I'm Dr. Edwin A. Elliott.
Dr. Elliott? I know that you're happy to be at the breakfast. You look like
I am. I'm greatly devoted to the president.
I see. Do you have any ideas, Dr. Elliott, what the president might talk about during his 20 minutes at the breakfast this morning?
Well, I imagine that he will stress the economic situation and probably his plans for progress for the country.
I see.
I think he would emphasize that. And no doubt... industrialization of Texas.
Do you think that Fort Worth has welcomed him as warmly as you would have liked?
Well, I would have liked very much for the school children to have seen our president and lady.
Yes, sir.
And other than that, I think they've done an excellent job. But I do wish that all of the people of Fort Worth would have had an opportunity to see him.
I think a lot of the people of Fort Worth agree with you, Dr. Elliott. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Let's talk to this gentleman back here. Your name, sir?
Reverend Marshall E. Hodge.
Reverend Hodge, have you any idea perhaps what the president might talk about this morning at the breakfast? Do you anticipate anything in your own mind as to what he might speak about?
Well, I'm sure he's going to say something that would give some indication of his hopes for passing his civil rights bill in Congress.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that mentioned, that this could be a possible topic for this particular breakfast, since he has announced his topic for the Dallas engagement. Do you ordinarily get up this early, Reverend?
No, I'm about 2 hours early.
I see. Well, you look like you might be ready for breakfast, and it's so nice of you to talk with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk to this lady right here. Your name is what, please?
Zipporah Hicks.
Ms. Hicks, do you get up this early in the morning?
No.
You don't?
No.
You did this morning,
didn't
you?
Yes, I didn't have to sleep last night.
I see. Have you seen the president before?
No.
No,
just on the television.
Yes, yes.
I want to see him in person this morning.
Yeah, well, that's all together. There are about 2,000 others waiting here, and there are many outside.
Yes.
Well, I sure thank you for talking with us. And,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. This is Nick Ramsey at the Presidential Breakfast Hotel, Texas, returning you now to our studio. 7 minutes before nine, and from Hotel Texas, here again is Frank Mills.
And I have just been trying to crane my neck around the corner of the doorway here to see if there were as many people outside in the mezzanine as there are inside. Of course, we couldn't get that many on the mezzanine, but there are a good many people almost stacked, I guess you would say, out there. They were unable to get tickets this morning, and I guess they've been unable to get through the lobby to the parking lot across the street to hear the president's remarks to the public there. We are still awaiting his arrival. In the background, besides the general crowd noise, you hear the Texas Boys Choir. While we are waiting, let's pick up some of the singing. Of course, adding to the color in the pageantry, the singing of the Texas Boys Choir, entertaining the diners while we are waiting President Kennedy's arrival. And to add further color to the spectacle this morning, the Eastern Hills High School Band at the far end of the ballroom, and they will be playing, I understand, Hail to the Chief with the entry of the presidential party. Yes?
Frank, the president has just completed his speech outside. There is a crowd of about 2,000 also out there. On the fringes, they are milling about. But he has just completed his speech outside the Hotel Texas and will shortly be entering the grand ballroom here in the hotel.
Were you able to get outside, Nick, to find out what he had to say out there, or were you unable to get through the lobby?
Well, I didn't go through the lobby to the press room, and I stuck my head out the window, Frank, and I could hear part of what he was saying. And I'm sure that the note that he set there will be the same general pattern that he will follow in here. I couldn't hear much of the PA system.
No, I can well understand that, because everything is crowded, the press rooms.
Yes. Fortunately, Frank, it isn't raining at the present time. There is a very moist breeze.
forcing the ladies to wear scarves over their heads and general rain wraps appearing on everybody. It's rather cool and brisk out there, but the clouds are not producing any rain at the present time.
Well, that is fortunate, then. He was able to, as we said earlier, make a dry public appearance then this morning. So the odds held in the president's favor. However, the showers probably will prevail off and on during the day, breaking up and then gathering again due to the instability. And, of course, it is hoped, and it is better than a 50-50 chance. We were talking with our staff meteorologist this morning. Better than a 50-50 chance that the president's appearance in Dallas will be unmarred by any showers at that particular time. This, of course, during the parade from the airport to downtown.
We expect the president to enter the room at any moment now, because it's only some a minute and a half from where he spoke outside the Hotel Texas at the parking lot to the room here where the breakfast is being held, Frank.
Of course, the president likes people, and the people like the president, so I don't suppose he will be able to move through the crowd with any great speed. He will stop, I'm sure, to shake hands with some others who will want to shake hands with him, and I hope the man who was here so early this morning said he wanted to say, "Good morning, Mr. President, and welcome to Fort Worth." Got his opportunity, because he was here to see the President of the United States.
I noticed, Frank, from the response of the crowd outside, that his speech, which was of only about 4 minutes' duration, was well received. It was broken by about six times by a pause from the crowd there. The traffic around the hotel here and had stopped, come to a complete standstill. I noticed one automobile had stopped on the main thoroughfare. He was the only car going south in his lane. They had all stopped. They had crawled up on the car. The children were on the hood, and the father was on the trunk of the car, and it was stopped right there in the middle of traffic. Traffic is rather slow at this moment around the Hotel Texas in Fort Worth.
Well, we can well imagine that, and it sounds as though some of the children will be late for school this morning, since school was not dismissed for the event. Some students, I noticed, and this has been noted earlier, I think, by Nick, perhaps that had been excused for the first part of the morning, at least, until they could see and hear what the president had to say this morning, and they had excuses to get back in school at something like 9:30. So they should be able to make that and on time. We are standing here at the south end of the ballroom in Hotel Texas, facing the speaker's table, which is stretched across the north end of the ballroom. It is beautifully decorated with, as well as I can tell from here, white chrysanthemums and red gladioli, and it is a beautiful sight. The front of the table is draped in greenery. Of course, the flag of the United States at our left as we face the rostrum, and the presidential flag on the right.
I have word at this moment, Frank, that the president is inside the hotel, so we can expect him momentarily. Frank, I noticed also the absence from my point of view. I didn't have the best view of the stand, the speaker's stand outside, but I did not see either Mrs. Johnson or Mrs. Kennedy on the platform.
Well, I'll tell you why you didn't see Mrs. Johnson. She made a very unobtrusive entrance a while ago with the crowd of people who came in and were seated at the table, and you have to look.
But oh, yes,
she is
there
sitting
she
up
is.
There very
yes,
quietly,
I see. Yes,
and
yes.
She just slipped in.
Well, I suppose the president is meeting the first lady in the hotel, and they will, of course, come up together. But he is in the hotel now.
Well, nearly everyone at the head table has finished eating. Of course, the guests here assembled, the over 2,000, have long since been through, entertained first by the Jimmy Rovito combo, then now by the Texas Boys Choir. And in a moment, you will hear the hail to the chief break forth from the east end of the ballroom, some, well, I don't know, several hundred feet away. So we are awaiting that. At the order of the program this morning, of course, will be first Hail to the Chief, played by the band, then Texas Our Texas, then the very Reverend Monsignor Vincent J. Wolfe, Dean of the Fort Worth Catholic Clergy, will give the invocation, and the Texas Boys Choir will sing the Eyes of Texas. Then Chamber of Commerce President Raymond Buck will introduce the guests at the head table, and President Kennedy then will be introduced. He will speak, and Dr. Granville Walker, president of the Fort Worth Area Council of Churches, will deliver the benediction. So that very briefly is the rundown of the program as it has been planned. And I must say, we have been involved somewhat with the planning here for about the past week or 10 days, and there have been necessary changes and then changes on the changes, and at times it seemed very confusing. But now we will have to admit that everything was set up to operate in the most orderly fashion possible, and I think that the Secret Service men, the Chamber of Commerce, are to be commended for the manner in which this affair has been conducted so far this morning, and apparently it's going to go off just like clockwork and almost exactly according to schedule. And that, to me, is a remarkable thing considering the size of the event here today.
The outside, Frank, even though I said that the traffic was at a standstill, traffic is still being routed, and it's very orderly out there as well. I suppose the crowd out there, including those who are in cars, those that I could not see, will be in excess of 2,500 to 3,000 outdoors to hear the vice president who introduced the president out there. I noticed, Frank, that there are approximately 8 empty chairs at the head table at this time, about 8, so that we have almost a full complement there, with the exception of the highest of dignitaries.
Yes, it'll be the President and First Lady, Vice President Johnson, and the other official members of the presidential party. As one of your interviewees said earlier, Nick, he hoped that the president would take away warm memories of a cordial reception here, and as it began last night at Charlesville Air Force Base and as it has continued so far this morning, I think that that gentleman's wish will be fulfilled.
Jack, were you outside there?
Yes, the president, of course, just came from outside the parking lot. Police captain, deputy chief, rather, McWhorter, estimated the crowd out there at 8,000, which is a pretty good turnout. Governor Connally came out first, smoked a cigarette, and then Senator Yarborough, Congressman Wright, and the president appeared in the door and drew a roar from the crowd. Then they walked out to the parking lot. The president shook hands with the people on the front row there and took the stand, made a very short speech, less than 5 minutes. Touched on what kind of progress this country is making. He touched briefly on the economy. He drew a big response from the crowd when he said Fort Worth is playing a big part in this nation's defense through its TFX fighter contract. Also mentioned the B-58 bomber. And Jackie wasn't there. She didn't come. He said she was busy getting organized, as he put it. And, of course, there were a lot of women and men, too, disappointed when Mrs. Kennedy did not show up. The president was introduced by Vice President Johnson. I think I neglected to mention him that he was there. But he was introduced by Vice President Johnson. After he talked, he walked down from the platform and shook hands with the crowd again. Then on the way in, he shook hands with a couple of men on horseback. I think they were men from the sheriff's posse. And after that, he walked back up in the ballroom where he is now. Is he not? I don't see him.
Not yet. I don't.
He hasn't made his entrance here. No, we've been, I think we can say patiently awaiting that, Jack. And certainly the crowd in here has been very orderly. It wouldn't take much to create a little clamor and a little disorder with 2,000 people.
Oh, one thing.
All the milling press, but they are. It is a well-behaved crowd. Excuse me.
It was raining. It was misting. It wasn't raining. And the president was the only member in his party that did not have a raincoat on, and he had no hat, which is his trademark, no hat. But some people were surprised that he didn't have a raincoat.
Well, there was a little something falling out there that
yes.
Was wet then this morning. We had hoped that it had been dry. Apparently not. We suggested earlier this morning that since this is supposed to be a weather vane for 1964, his appearance here in Texas, according to some political observers, he could make capital of the fact that perhaps that he did bring a little rain to Texas with him, and he could take credit here as a rainmaker. And, well, he might. Everybody is aggrieved, at least on that particular point, that we all need rain. We have it, and apparently we are going to have it off and on throughout the day, and it's anticipated it will follow him also to Austin.
Well, his speech was, I think, as non-political as a political speech can be.
Yeah.
It was very general. He said he appreciated the turnout in Fort Worth, but it was a very general speech, and if it could be non-political, well, it was.
I think, again, for the benefit of the people in Dallas, we should say, too, that our staff meteorologist has, I hate to put him on the spot and say assured us, but he said that he felt there was better than a 50-50 chance that the parade route from the airport to the hotel at least would be free for that time from any showers. They will be intermittent, apparently, from roughly noontime on, and so he feels that stand a pretty good chance of everybody being dry observers to the parade from the airport and downtown. What were you able to observe out there, David, this morning? This is David Daniel.
Well, I was impressed with the applause and the cheers that Senator Ralph Yarborough got, especially in light of last night's snub he gave Governor Connally. And I think this was some indication of his strength here in Fort Worth.
I think it has to be lined up, and I believe that now he is entering
now,
the room.
Now the president enters, and here is the hail to the chief. President now is walking to his place behind the rostrum at the speaker's platform, and as we anticipated, the most that you can hear probably from the band is the bass drum and the applause and the cheers that are greeting the president's appearance now. The vice president, of course, is with him. They are both on the platform and in appointed places. Mrs. Kennedy beaming, and that personality just seems to wrap up the whole room in its enthusiasm and warmth. President is standing there now, acknowledging the applause.
And we now are going to have the pleasure of hearing from Fort Worth's finest, the Texas Boys Choir. City where the West begins is the most important and the most honored city in the world. Our great, courageous, and brilliant leader, of the world's strongest nation, its greatest power for peace and for freedom. He has honored us with his presence and that of the charming and lovely First Lady. Our hearts and our arms are open to you. May God bless you and cause his light to shine on you and on your companions and your family. Ladies and gentlemen, I proudly present the President of the United States.
I know now why everyone in Texas, Fort Worth, is so thin, having gotten up and down about nine times. This is what you do every morning. Mr. Buck, Mr. Vice President, Governor Connally, Senator Yarbrough, Jim Wright, members of the congressional delegation, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Attorney General, ladies and gentlemen. 2 years ago, I said that introduced myself in Paris by saying that I was the man who had accompanied Mrs. Kennedy to Paris. I'm getting that same sensation as I travel around Texas. Nobody wonders what Lyndon and I wear. I'm glad to be here in Jim Wright City, about 35... About 35 years ago, a congressman from California, just been elected, received a letter from an irate constituent which said, during your campaign, you promised to have the Sierra Madre Mountains reforested. You've been in office for 1 month and you haven't done so. Well, no one in Fort Worth has been... that unreasonable, but in some ways he has had the Sierra Madre Mountains reforested. And here in Fort Worth, he's contributed to its growth. He speaks for Fort Worth. He speaks for the country. And I don't know any city that's better represented in the Congress of the United States than Fort Worth. And if there are any Democrats here this morning, I'm sure you won't hold that against them. Three years ago, last September, I came here on the Vice President and spoke at Burke Burnett Park. And I called in that speech for a national security policy and a national security system which was second to none. A position which said not first, but if, when, and how, but first. That city responded to that call as it has through its history. And we have been putting that pledge into practice ever since. And I want to say a word about that pledge here in Fort Worth, which understands national defense and its importance to the security of the United States. During the days of the Indian War, this city was a fort. During the days of World War I, even before the United States got into the war, Royal Canadian Air Force pilots were training here. During the days of World War II, the great Liberator bombers, on which my brother flew with his co-pilot from this city, were produced here. First non-stop flight around the world took off and returned here in a plane built in factories here. The first truly intercontinental bomber, the B-36, was produced here. The B-58, which is the finest weapon system in the world today, which it demonstrated most recently in flying from Tokyo to London with an average speed of nearly 1,000 miles per hour, is a Fort Worth product. The Iroquois helicopter from Fort Worth is a mainstay in our fight against the guerrillas in South Vietnam. The transportation of crews, the between our missile sites is done in planes produced here in Fort Worth. So wherever the confrontation may occur, and in the last 3 years it's occurred at least three occasions, in Laos, in Berlin, and in Cuba, and it will again, wherever it occurs, the products of Fort Worth and the men of Fort Worth provide us with a sense of security. And in the not too distant future, a new Fort Worth product. And I'm glad that there was a table separating Mr. Hicks and myself. A new Fort Worth product. The TFX, Tactical Fighter Experimental. Nobody knows what those words mean, but that's what they mean. Tactical Fighter Experimental will serve the forces of freedom and will be the number one airplane in the world today. There's been a good deal of discussion of the long and hard-fought competition to win the TFX contract, but very little discussion about what this plane will do. It will be the first operational aircraft ever produced that can literally spread its wings through the air. It will thus give us a single plane capable of carrying out missions of speed as well as distance, able to fly very far in one form or very fast in another. It can take off from rugged, short airstrips, enormously increasing the Air Force's ability to participate in limited wars. The same basic plane will serve the Navy's carriers, saving the taxpayers at least $1 billion in cost if they built separate planes for the Navy and the Air Force. The government of Australia, by purchasing $125 million of TFX planes before they are even off the drawing boards, has already testified to the merit of this plane, and at the same time, it's confident in the ability of Fort Worth to meet its schedule. In all these ways, the success of our national defense depends upon this city in the western United States, 10,000 miles from Vietnam, 5,000 or 6,000 miles from Berlin, thousands of miles from trouble spots in Latin America, in Africa or the Middle East. And yet Fort Worth and what it does and what it produces participates in all these great historic events. Texas as a whole and Fort Worth bear particular responsibility for this national defense effort. For military procurement in this state totals nearly $1.25 billion, fifth highest among all the states of the Union. There are more military personnel on active duty in this state than any in the nation, save one. And it's not Massachusetts. Any in the nation, save one, with a combined military-civilian defense payroll of well over $1 billion. I don't recite these for any partisan purpose. They're the result of American determination to be second to none. And as a result of the effort which this country has made in the last 3 years, we are second to none. In the past 3 years, we have increased the defense budget of the United States by over 20%, increased the program of acquisition for Polaris submarines from 24 to 41, increased our Minuteman missile purchase program by more than 75%, doubled the number of strategic bombers and missiles on alert, doubled the number of nuclear weapons available in the strategic alert forces, increased the tactical nuclear forces deployed in Western Europe by over 60%, added 5 combat-ready divisions to the armies of the United States, and 5 tactical fighter wings to the Air Force of the United States, increased our strategic airlift capability by 75%, and increased our special counterinsurgency forces which are engaged now in South Vietnam by 600%. I hope those who want a strong America and place it on some signs will also place those figures next to it. This is not an easy effort. This requires sacrifice by the people of the United States. But this is a very dangerous and uncertain world. As I said earlier, on three occasions in the last 3 years, the United States has had a direct confrontation. No one can say when it will come again. No one expects our life will be easy. Certainly not in this decade, and perhaps not in this century. But we should realize what a burden and responsibility the people of the United States have borne for so many years. Here, a country which lived in isolation, divided and protected by the Atlantic and the Pacific, uninterested in the struggles of the world around it. Here, in the short space of 18 years after the Second World War, we put ourselves by our own will and by necessity into a defensive alliances with countries all around the globe. Without the United States, South Vietnam would collapse overnight. Without the United States, the CETO alliance would collapse overnight. Without the United States, the CENTO alliance would collapse overnight. Without the United States, there would be no NATO, and gradually Europe would drift into neutralism and indifference. Without the effort of the United States and the Alliance for Progress, the communist advance onto the mainland of South America would long ago have taken place. So this country, which desires only to be free, which desires to be secure, which desires to live at peace for 18 years under three different administrations, has borne more than its share of the burden, has stood watch for more than its number of years. I don't think that we are fatigued or tired. We would like to live as we once lived, but history will not permit it. The communist balance of power is still strong. The balance of power is still on the side of freedom. We are still the keystone and the arch of freedom, and I think we will continue to do as we have done in our past, our duty, and the people of Texas will be in the lead. So I'm glad to come. I'm glad to come to this state, which has played such a significant role in so many efforts in this century, and to say that here in Fort Worth, you people will be playing a major role in the maintenance of the security of the United States for the next 10 years. I'm confident, as I look to the future, that our chances for security, our chances for peace, are better than they've been in the past. And the reason is because we're stronger. And with that strength is a determination to not only maintain the peace, but also the vital interests of the United States. To that great cause, Texas and the United States are committed. Thank you.
President and Mrs. Kennedy are shaking hands with the people at the speaker's table, one at a time, and they are making their way slowly, and that's a long way down to the end of the table there. They will be leaving momentarily, and of course they will be going to Carswell Air Force Base, from there to Dallas, and we will keep our fingers crossed for a cessation for the time being, at least, of the showers. President and Mrs. Kennedy have just about completed the handshakes, the thank yous. They are smiling broadly. Sincerely, now they pause to shake hands with members of the Texas Boys Choir, and they are falling over one another to shake the President's hand and Mrs. Kennedy's hand, both of them well, beaming is the only word that can describe them as they make their exit now through the crowd. And he pauses here and there to shake hands with the people once again. Although I am standing on a chair here at the south end of the ballroom, it is difficult to see them because other people are climbing on the chairs out in front of me. I assume from the direction of the heads as they turn that they have just about passed through the aisle and are entering the kitchen to make their exit. The people are beginning to leave, and they were requested, as you heard from Mr. Buck, to keep their places until the president and his lady made their exit. And the speaker's platform is clearing now. And for just a moment, here is David Daniel, who has been gathering information reports for us and for the newsroom this morning to give you an impression or two of his own as he has been wandering about this place with us since 6 o'clock and before. David?
I spent some time on the Hotel Texas parking lot awaiting the arrival of President Kennedy and his party, and I was impressed with the warm reception of the crowd. Many of the people were school pupils and students who had skipped school for the day, come with their parents, and had eagerly awaited an outreached hand to touch the president as he wove through the crowd. And I thought this morning's speech on the parking lot to the great masses of Fort Worth was primarily directed to Premier Khrushchev more than anything else. He spoke of our capabilities in space, our economic potential, and our defense capability here in Fort Worth. And it seemed like a little saber rattling for the premier's benefit. And when he announced that we would have the largest booster in the history of our nation fired next month, that really excited the crowd. And it was an expression of our expectations in space. The crowd really liked that comment.
Thank you, David, very much. And the people now are clearing the ballroom as rapidly as 2,000 people can. The president, of course, as I say, will go from here to the Carswell Air Force Base. And some of the high school students who are not dismissed this morning will have an opportunity to see them. Castleberry High School will be marching or walking, as the case may be, from the school, which is adjacent to Highway 183. And there, as I understand it, the high school band will serenade the president as he and his entourage then drive to Carswell Air Force Base. I could echo what David said earlier about the warmth of the reception of the president this morning, because this was notable, and I thought particularly on the part of people here of other political persuasions. They made that very plain themselves, as one man put it to me very succinctly when I asked him about his presence here so early in the morning. He said, Mister, I didn't come here to vote. I came here to see the President of the United States. And he was not fortunate enough to get a ticket for the breakfast this morning, so he had taken up a vantage point and out in the rain and was standing there patiently. As I said, I arrived at 6 o'clock. How long he had been here at that time, I don't know, but apparently he waited it out in order to see the President and to hear what he had to say. And the people are leaving as orderly as they arrived. And I think besides commending the detachment of Secret Service here, who handled the crowd and okayed and oversaw some of the preparations, and as well as congratulating the Chamber of Commerce, I think the people themselves who are here this morning are to be congratulated, because as we mentioned earlier and noted, it wouldn't take much to create a disorder with this many people crowded into the space. And the last of the color and the pageantry, that is the Eastern Hills High School Band, with their highly polished instruments and their bright uniforms, are making their exit now from the far corner of the ballroom, and it seems as though that must be a block or two away. Of course, the newsreel cameraman, the working press, are gathering up all their material and packing it away. And this is quite some job, as you can well imagine, here for the cameramen themselves. The working press, of course, only stuff their notes in their pocket, and they are off. There were some, I would estimate, around 100 or more reporters, members of the press here, in addition to the cameraman, representing the various communications media here today. Well, that just about concludes, or it does conclude the program from here now this morning. With just one thing, if I may add, behind the speaker's table up there, just to the left of the rostrum, was this message from the Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce hanging on the wall. Members of the Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce must be missionaries of progress, not just beneficiaries of the efforts of others. So we return you now to the studio.
Total Information News from WBAP Fort Worth.
Norwood McClendon reporting. President Kennedy drew prolonged applause in Fort Worth this morning when he said this country next month will fire the largest rocket booster in the world, putting us ahead of the Soviet Union in space. Later, President Kennedy told a Fort Worth breakfast audience that Texas ranks fifth among the states in prime military contract spending. He also spoke well of the TFX fighter plane contracted to General Dynamics Fort Worth. Jack Brown reports.
A crowd estimated by police at 8,000 stood outside the Hotel Texas this morning waiting to hear the president. He emerged shortly before 9 o'clock. The skies were still dripping, although no rain was falling at that time. The president shook hands with the crowd, then mounted the platform. On the platform with him, Vice President Johnson, Senator Yarborough, Governor Connally, and Congressman Jim Wright. The president was introduced by Vice President Johnson. The president touched briefly on the TFX fighter contract, praising it in his speech outside the hotel. The speech was a short one, less than 5 minutes. He drew several rounds of applause. After leaving the platform, he again shook hands with the crowd and walked back inside the hotel. Mrs. Kennedy did not appear at the open-air speech, and for a while it looked like she would not appear at the grand ballroom of the hotel where the president just finished addressing a breakfast crowd of some 2,000 persons. Mrs. Kennedy walked in later after the other guests were introduced, and she drew a standing ovation from the crowd. The president, in his speech at the breakfast, again praised the TFX fighter contract and had some words to say about a rocket launching next month. For that story, here's David Daniel.
Mrs. Kennedy was the high attraction this morning. The president joked about his wife and said, "No one ever wonders what Lyndon and I wear." He had high praise for Representative Jim Wright and said Fort Worth's importance to the U.S. defense dates back to World War I, when he said his brother flew from Fort Worth. And he said this is the place where the first around-the-world flight started. And he said Fort Worth is the home of the B-58, the best flying system in the world today. He praised the helicopters produced from Bell and Hearst in its function in guerrilla warfare. He said in the not-too-distant future, a new Fort Worth product, the TFX, will serve forces of freedom and be the number one airplane in the world. He said a lot's been said about the long and hard, rough and tumble competition, but not very much about the capabilities of the TFX. He said producing a multi-service plane is saving taxpayers over $1 billion rather than having separate planes for the Navy and Air Force. And he said the White House is confident that Fort Worth will meet its production schedules with the TFX. And he mentioned that Texas has the highest military payroll than any other state in the Union, save one. And then he chuckled, and that's not Massachusetts. He said Fort Worth will be playing a major role in the defense of the United States in the next 10 years. He said the outlook for world peace now is greater than it ever has been. He outlined the defense capabilities of the United States, then said, "These figures speak louder of the strength of the nation than posters," an obvious reference to arch-right wingers. After his speech, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, Raymond Buck, presented Mr. Kennedy with cowboy boots and a cowboy dress hat. The president declined to wear the hat, saying if anyone wanted to see the hat on him, they'd have to come to the White House Monday. That's one of his trademarks. not wearing a hat. And both he and Mr. Kennedy were presented alligator cowboy boots from Justin Boots, a manufacturer here in Fort Worth. That was his speech, and now his motorcade is making its way to Carswell Air Force Base, where he will board a plane for Dallas and his subsequent reception at Love Field. This is David Daniel reporting from Hotel Texas for WBAP News.
From Fort Worth, the President and Mrs. Kennedy and their party go to Dallas, where the chief executive addresses a luncheon gathering. Tonight they'll be in Austin. The Kennedys will meet the people again in the downtown Fort Worth, back to Carswell motorcade, as they proceed up Main to Belknap, west to Jacksboro Highway, then to River Oaks Boulevard, and on to the air base. The party is scheduled to leave for Dallas at 11:15. The latest weather information in a moment. Now forecasting for Fort Worth and Dallas, mostly cloudy and cooler this afternoon, partly cloudy and colder tonight, fair tomorrow. Expect highest afternoon temperatures in the lower 60s, the lowest tonight in the upper 30s. Wind westerly, 15 to 20 miles per hour this afternoon, then northerly, 10 to 15 tonight. Light showers in the area this morning should end by noon. At Southwest International Airport, temperature is 57 degrees, relative humidity 83%. Norwood McClendon reporting.
Your straight line to reliable reporting, WBAP Fort Worth, where the news comes first.